Welcome to the Technori Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. Today's show is fittingly sponsored by Home Chef. Home Chef delivers fresh, pre-proportioned ingredients directly to your door with easy-to-follow recipes that fit your lifestyle. Use promo code TECHNORI100 and save yourself $100. I recently posted this to Instagram. I was at the local Mariano's shopping and ended up picking up Home Chef because it makes obvious sense for a person who doesn't know how to cook and is more or less domestically worthless. And my wife was like, you have a Tavala and a Home Chef. Is there any purpose at this point in shopping and preparing my own food? And I'll give you an immediate answer to that. No, there's not. Use Home Chef. It's the shit. Speaking of the shit and Home Chef and food and not waiting in lines or doing any legwork, Fan Food is my guest today, Carson Goodell. Veteran, went to the bunker. It's a funny story in the show. You'll hear about how we connected like five times but didn't connect, and it was like, oh, you have to talk to Scott, and I keep getting people telling me you gotta talk to Carson, it's a great idea, blah blah. Years go by, he hasn't on the show. Now he's on the show, we're best friends immediately. We're already texting. I'm texting him right now while I'm doing this. Great episode. Learned a lot about fan food in general. If you are a person who goes to games a lot, which I am, concerts, did not even think of this. Junior high basketball game. I'm not going to them, but I could. And everybody is using fan food so that you don't have to wait in line at concessions. It's like having a Starbucks app for every single venue. You just pre-order, go pick it up. You could have it delivered, all these cool things. I think this company is going to absolutely blow up. I'll give you a little hint. There's some big news coming. As of the morning we recorded this, he was talking to some major, major outlets. You'll find out on your own. So if you like this episode, by the way, you should check out my conversation with Second Kitchen founder Nick Anastasiadis by following Technori on Spotify. This is my conversation with Carson, CEO and founder of Fan Food. All right, so we were taking a little stroll down memory lane here, and naturally it led to the Bunker Labs and Todd Connor.
Yes.
Todd is a friend. He's a great guy. Bunker, I mean, I remember when they opened Bunker in 1871. It was a great idea, obviously, and we did a bunch of partnership stuff with them early in the journey. And now, as I said before, now he's the Todd Connor. He's not just Todd Connor. Now he's the Todd Connor.
Yeah, it's because they were passionate about solving a certain issue before it blew up, and they stayed focused on that, and you know, it started to catch on.
Yeah,
because it's a real issue.
Well, I mean, so we've worked with a bunch. I mean, Justin was there at the time.
Justin, yeah.
And, you know, like we worked with a lot of the founders. And then in some of the cases, these were just veterans, not founders yet. There were veterans who were like, I have a specific skill set that I learned, you know, when I was downrange or I was wherever. And now I come back and it's like,
I have this idea and I'm looking for validation as to whether or not I can turn this into a potential business.
I feel like, so here's, and this is a great transition into our conversation. Sorry, Todd, we're done with you. No, we're not. We'll go back to Bunker stuff in a minute. But I think one of the things that was unique about, well, there's a bunch of things unique about veteran founders. The Bunker was unique to me because most incubators were people searching for an idea. I don't want to get a regular job. I want to just do whatever the fuck I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they would go to an incubator like looking for a problem to solve.
Mm-hmm.
And the veterans were like, no. It's like, I saw this thing and I saw this thing happen. I'm pretty sure it's legit.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know how to get started. Don't know who to talk to. Can you help me?
Yeah.
They weren't like searching for a future. They had the future. Yeah. They were just trying to figure out how the fuck to put it together.
Yeah. They had the humility. They're like, I have a great idea. Yeah. I just don't know like what I need to do.
Or I have a shitty idea, but I'm open to being told.
Yeah.
And that, I feel like that was the big difference. And it was like, oh, this has a lot of potential.
For sure.
And then the way that Todd built it made it so,
scalable.
It's not just scalable. There's like the branding was on point. The mission was on point. Like nobody could say no to that offer. Like you can't say no to Todd Connor about Bunker DC, Bunker Philly, Bunker Dallas, Bunker Seattle. I mean, there are like 50 of them now.
It's insane.
Like, So here's the other part of this about the veterans, and I assume you're a veteran.
Yeah.
The part of this that's unique is that veteran, it's a sort of like the athlete thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you had to go and pick out who you think will be successful, really in any business, but in particular in entrepreneurial business, where like you gotta take shit and you gotta eat it and then you gotta come back with stuff. I really think veterans like athletes have seen low lows.
Yeah.
They've had to grind it out. They've been in veterans more than athletes. Athletes just get cut, veterans get killed.
Yeah.
It's a different thing.
For sure.
But they come back to this real world, you know, civilized world, so to speak, and they start a business and like, so what's the worst case that happens? But like, I lose like 20 G's and I start over, and you're like, yeah, and you're like,
okay,
whatever.
When like do we get started?
It's driving a $1 billion tank 5 minutes ago. Like, I don't, this is dumb.
Or you're saying I could risk 20K and potentially never have to worry about another.
I was gonna say dime. they never asked the question about what happens if it crashes. So this is a good conversation. And I promise we get the fan food.
You're fine.
I love this, and I already see this beaming from you, and I've heard all these things about you already. I mean, believe it or not, we have a couple of mutual people who talk about you to me all the time.
Who?
So you probably know Egen, the guys from Egen.
Oh, yeah.
So Ragu and I are good friends.
I'm going over there tomorrow morning.
I'm
going
to be over there Friday morning.
Oh, hell
so
yeah.
So we should just carpool.
Yes.
And
it's supposed to snow tomorrow.
Yeah, so I might not even come in. I'll just tell everyone who's in the I'm probably not going to come in the office tomorrow. I don't know if it's going to snow or not. I just don't, you know, fuck it. Wednesday. You know,
I'm out. Sure.
Whatever. That's reality. But, and also Noah and Andy Mack and some of those other guys. So like, I know those guys. Noah's a great guy.
Oh, yeah,
he says nothing but amazing things about you.
Yeah.
We just got light in here.
Yeah.
Many people talking about where you're going. We have some friends at Home Chef.
Mm-hmm.
And they're big fans of you as well. In fact, this episode is sponsored by Home Chef.
Oh, sweet.
And I told him, I was like, if we could pick any shows we're going to do that you want to sponsor. And Shane was like, fan food. So like, there's people out there that are paying attention, if you don't know.
Is Shane going to drop me some free promo codes?
Yes, it's Technori 100. And save yourself $100 on Home Chef today.
Ask
not just Carson and me and my wife and everyone in the room, you too as a listener. Technori 100, you heard it.
So
people think highly of you and the company. One of the reasons that I think this is the case with entrepreneurs that are veterans, and really it's not even, I mean, the veteran is a component of it, but the entrepreneurs who are like this, I like. The ones who are not like this, I tend to not connect with almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You brought it up. You were like, I could just get this right and never have to think about shit again. I don't think about the downside. Like, my wife hates this quality of me.
Yeah.
That when something gets thrown at me, it never even dawns on me it's a failure.
Yeah.
Because I already made amends to that.
Yeah.
And I think when I've talked to a lot of, like, and Todd and many others, Justin is a great example, who have talked to veterans about this trait, they said that, and I've never served, so I'm not comparing myself to this at all, but they had to make a deal with themselves or God or whoever they believe in before they jumped on the plane that this could end poorly.
Mm-hmm.
And then once it's done, you just got to go.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a certain quality that a lot of the veteran entrepreneurs have that other entrepreneurs who are not veterans also have. But I respect those who are like, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, because like, one of the things I learned, especially as an officer in the Army, was when it comes down to like effectively planning, one of the biggest things is like identifying all of the risks in this potential mission and what are you doing to mitigate all of those pre-identified risks before going into anything. And I think most of the skill sets that I've learned in the military translate super well, but this is like another example of, okay, you have a startup, what are all the potential risks of failing? Or, you know, we're at a point now where, you know, every week we're closing deals, but we're losing deals, and we're tracking that every week, and we can say, okay, why are we losing deals?
After action reviews,
after AAR, right there.
And that's the thing, that it's not, that's something that is basically installed in you like Jason Bourne.
Yeah.
When you like, literally, you got a basic training and there's like, everything you fuck up, son, you're going to look at and deal with.
I go on a bad date and I'll literally like, and you know, it won't work out. And I'm like still asking like, what can I do better?
It took me until I was 34 to get married because of that.
Give me some feedback. Did I say something wrong?
Or so you're the creepy guy. You're the guy who's texting this girl. It's way over. This is so over. Like you are past, your name isn't even on the shit.
Yeah.
Now it's just coming up 312.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and she's like, what in the fuck? That's you. That was me too.
Have you seen Swinger? Have you seen Swingers?
Oh, come on,
it's a classic.
Yeah.
What's the he's picking up the phone. He keeps calling back.
Dude, you're so hot right now. It's,
what is John? Is it
John Farmer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's me.
Now we know. So this is a persistent founder who's going to sell until his shit hits the wall.
That's right.
And it's fine.
I think that's how I'm going to be known. Like remembered. Like. How'd you do a deal with FanFood? Oh, they just kept being persistent.
They just kept. Yeah. I'll tell you a funny story about that. So there was a company. I don't know if he wants this to be republished, so I won't say his name. But he came on the show to pitch a business. I thought it was fucking stupid from the start. I said that to him. He did too. But he was like, there's an opportunity here, and I think I can hit it. I was like, all right, I respect that. Like, he's like, you know, he's like, he never thought it was going to be a long-term thing. Whatever. He's like, I'm going to go for it. So in true, this is like 2015. So in true startup fashion, what's the first thing he does? Buys a shit ton of t-shirts, right?
Naturally.
He's got swag. So nice. He's handing out swag, blah, blah, blah. 3 or 4 months go by and he's handing out swag that is like really cool, like colorful and like designy and stuff. And I'm like,
quarter zips.
Oh, he's got it all. He's in it and they're like really cool, like play on the logo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stuff.
Polyester.
Yeah. And like not even stuff that didn't even have, like it would like where the logo was, it was deliberately blank.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, this is just weird. And then fast forward 3 months later, the company went out of business. Go figure.
Oh, wow.
But the business he was left with, printing shirts and sweaters. And it's still alive, and he's crushing it.
Wow.
He started a business.
That's insane.
That business did not work. As a part of the business, he learned the process of doing t-shirt and stuff printing, got really nerded out on the logo stuff, on marketing side of it, and pivoted without even saying anything, let the company crash into the wall, and just he runs a shirt shop. Like,
awesome.
Dude.
That's beautiful.
Resourceful as can be.
That's entrepreneurship right there.
Totally.
I hands off to that guy, whoever he is.
Shirts off to that guy. So tell me you go to Bunker, you meet these guys. We've crossed paths a whole bunch of times. Now you're here. What, like, FanFood, talk about the journey up into FanFood and what you're trying to accomplish when you first set out and then what it is now. We'll get into that.
So I came up with the idea of FanFood my sophomore year in college. And so when I moved to Chicago, I had already been full time. I graduated college. I went on active duty to learn how to do my job in the military because I commissioned as an officer in the reserves. So I did that. Came back. I decided I was going to take FanFood full time. I was in dad's basement for 8 months and decided I was like, I need to go to a city to build my own network, build relationships, investors, leverage the resources from a big city as compared to my dad's basement. You know what I mean? So I was doing that. I was in his basement for 8 months. I moved up here. It had been close to 3 years ago around this time. And that's my excuse was Bunker Labs. So I reached out to them. Reached out to Justin and I said, hey, I don't know if I apply to this because I don't consider myself a veteran. I'm a detachment commander in the Army Reserves, prior service in the National Guard, but I'm doing this startup full time. Yep. I heard about Bunker, looking to validate this idea and figure out whether it's if it's worth pursuing or not. At the time, we were at one high school, just started, piloting. So I moved up here. Justin said, hell yes. And I came up, visited the team. They're like, you can, work at 1871 for free. In fact, our first angel investor that wrote like a 15K check was another veteran that was referred by Bunker Labs.
Nice.
Our first like competition was referred, we won Bob Evans Farms. I got to meet Dame and John, went to like 25K. Yep. That was also because of like Bunker Labs. And then we did their accelerator, like the 1 day a week thing.
Yep.
And so now it's kind of cool to see Bunker Labs, fast forward 3 years, they're in like nearly every state scaling, killing it. So I like to brag that I'm like one of the OG Bunker Labs.
You
like,
should pay some credit.
Yeah. So my coffee mug is still there. It's turned around, but my name's still like etched on
it. Feel like I have some contributions to Bunker Labs as well on the video side and some of the shows and stuff they did.
Nice.
So I OG, I steal credit when I can.
Yeah, for sure.
So I just want to be clear here also, the reason that some of those dates didn't go well from prior experience is that the whole basement thing.
Basement thing.
Being in dad's basement.
Oh, yeah.
8 months in dad's basement. I did eight months in parents' basement.
Yeah.
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 That's a lot of the blank text back.
Yeah, it's tough. I had to save up money, you know.
Some people don't want to be on that journey.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's totally, I totally get it.
Yeah.
I'm surprised my wife said yes to this stuff. I don't know what she's thinking.
No. Look around. You got a 360 degree view. The lake looks beautiful. I mean,
yeah, I know. But like, you know, she was like, this is the fun part of it. There's all the grind and shit and like the pressure and stress.
Yeah.
And I have the same.
Yeah.
We were talking about this the other day, and this will be the same thing for you as you continue. I have no doubt you're going to scale up fan food and it'll be great. But like the only difference now from the beginning is the number of zeros.
That's literally all. That's what I say too.
It's the same stress.
Yeah.
You increase your spending, you increase the number of people you have, you increase the market, you increase everything. It makes no difference whether I had $9, $9,000, and $90,000. Mm-hmm. I still only have $9, $9,000, or $90,000, which means we have zero after that.
Definitely. 100%. 100%. And then at the end of the day, I mean, granted, you still have cash management stresses as an early stage.
Oh, yeah.
Startup.
No matter what. But you always do.
You're always going to have that. But I think, too, you can mitigate stress when you get smarter with your business. So, like, you know, in 2019, you know, we closed our seed round in quarter one of 2019 and we went to market. You know, we wanted to test, validate various, sales strategies, inside sales, outside sales. I don't know. There's only so many books you can read that tells you like what's going to, who's going to be the sales persona that we need. Is it going to be this guy or that gal or this skill set or that skill set? You know, we kind of take best guesses. And so I think when you can create an organization that's built off of like data, you can make better decisions and you can then sleep like more soundly at night. 'Cause you're like, oh, I think this because the data suggests this rather than, oh, I think this because I think that, you know?
So like, I'll tell you, I mean, and this is something that anyone you talk to is going to tell you something similar to this. And obviously tech is a huge part of this and we're obviously big in tech and that whole thing. And you should work with Ragu and you should work with Noah and you should work with everybody. They're all smart people. Once you get to a certain point, your number one hire in the world you're going to make is a CFO. Someone who's going to be able to show you the lay of the land,
mm-hmm.
price it out, and give you projections that actually are real, that mean something.
Mm-hmm.
And then even then, it's like you're taking a little pressure off yourself as a CEO to like not be ride or die every minute. But here's the thing. If it's your company and you stay CEO and you know, which doesn't always happen, you're somehow guiding it. You're always going to see opportunities in the space that you can't not kick the tires on. And that's why I say like, when I didn't have two nickels to rub together, I was just doing stuff that like out of pocket and it was just like scraping shit together to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I had like two nickels, but not much more, I was doing the same thing, but just like with a little more resource. I still now do the exact same thing. It's like,
that's so funny.
I can't not pursue this. I know it's gonna be a waste. Like I literally have an LLC right now set up that money goes into and I use it to just fuck around. Like my wife, she'll never listen to this show, by the way. So I can say this without worrying that she's gonna know that this is going on. I have two people I use that are freelancers.
Uh-huh.
One's on a sales side, the other one's sort of on a dev side,
uh-huh.
that I pay to just fuck around. Because like I have these ideas and I want to kick the tires on people. I want to create a sales funnel that works better for my show.
Yeah.
But I don't want to run it through the business because I don't know if it's real.
Right.
So like I have financial hardships that I'm going to create for myself forever.
But they could pay off.
They could. They will.
And
they probably
will. Yeah.
But like my point is like, okay, so let's do this with fan food.
Yeah.
Let's blow this shit up. Yeah. Best case scenario. Now you are rolling. You're like, you've done your Series D. You guys are going to be an IPO if you're not acquired. You're getting heat. Someone wants to buy you, but you might say, fuck them and go IPO. Even then, with you liquid or the company liquid, you're still going to be looking at other ways to continue to disrupt what you came in to get.
For sure.
And you're going to spend. You're just like, that's just.
For sure.
It never ends.
It's fun.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like some people just don't know when you get into this. Like they don't, like there are certain types of people and the people who are like you, where it's like, doesn't even matter.
Hey, only the strong will survive.
Love it. So let's talk about fan food now. Like what was the idea when you started this?
Yep.
How did it pivot? How did it change? How did it shape? How did it grow? Once you get into Bunker Labs, you start working on the model.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I was a sophomore. I'll tell you the story. It's not very sexy by any means. So I was complaining about a shitty experience I had at a bar with some of my buddies at the University of Iowa.
Was it Station? What was it? You, like,
Summit upstairs.
Oh, Summit. Yes.
Yeah, it was pretty terrible.
They have a lot of my fake IDs still there.
Yeah, and I was complaining to my buddies, and I said, we shouldn't have to navigate through this crowded bar to order a drink. We should be able to order it on our phone and have a server bring it to us.
Nix the line. It's like our good friend Charlie Sterling.
Yeah, Sterling's my boy. Why do long lines exist? So I, you know, especially at the time too, a lot of growth with respect to online and mobile ordering, right? Especially like in this economy where convenience
is everybody and their brother had an expectation, right?
So I saw the sports and live entertainment space as a, not just that, but the in-venue ordering space as a whole, as a completely untapped market. You know, the competitors, Grubhub, DoorDash, Uber Eats, Postmates, are competing with each other against user acquisition. You know, Grubhub took quite the beating, you know, has been. They're competing against each other on user acquisition. And no one's in the sports and live entertainment space. So I was, we started there, and kind of carved out our focus. Still carving out our focus, but we're in 75 venues, quickly approaching 100 today, from high schools to Division I colleges, and figuring it out. You know, as I continue to stay focused on that, at the time there was a competitor doing in-venue mobile ordering, but it was a feature of a white-labeled, you know, team or stadium app, which I thought team and stadium apps were shitty back then. And you're like, who even uses them?
Why would you use that?
Exactly. And they didn't have the mobile ordering piece quite, you know, figured out, so it failed pretty bad, and this was nearly a decade ago. So I thought just the whole approach, like their business model, the execution, everything was wrong. And I was like, you know, there should be a platform where, you know, it doesn't matter. We literally last week, this was awesome, we signed up a middle school. Like, I was like, why would a middle school buy like this? Anyway, it was to manage, because on the back end, it's an easier way and more efficient way to manage concessions.
Yeah.
They did 50 orders in the first event. They paid for the platform the first 3 months in the first event. And for me, I was like, wow, they loved it. The parents loved it. And it just doubled our entire like market opportunity, because
so
never thought about middle schools.
It's so smart, because it's like, this is the, I just call it like value economics. So like, speaking of our friend Sterling, we talked about this. He came on the show before, it was Technori with Nix the Line, which he probably is going to like cover his face and be like, I didn't do that. I remember asking him about it. Like, do you think the value prop is there? Like, we've all been in line, and we're trying to buy someone a drink, or our buddy's a drink or whatever, and you're just standing there waving the card. You know that they don't want the card, so you put that shit away and you start putting 20 out there. They don't come to the line. Like, all right, you know, it sucks. It's a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
But are you going to like go download an app and like order at the bar, and like their service is good or not good? Like, I don't know. I'm not going to do it per bar.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely not going to, like, to be honest with you, this is why Groupon's in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And we just said the CTO, and I think there's a lot of opportunities for them to get their stuff together. But I think they outgrew the value prop. I think they outgrew the market that was there. Like, I'm not going to go on Groupon every time I leave my house and try to figure out, like, are the places I'm going to go on this?
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But for you,
we're growing into it.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Every time I'm not watching the game, my money just got wasted. I'm sitting at the bar, gives a shit. I'm just talking to my friends, and they're stupid anyway.
And there was this notion that, you know, fans didn't want to download another app. Like, that was what the industry was kind of saying, although I respectfully disagree. So
Depends on if you go to games, you will.
Yeah. Well, we rolled out a web app too. So it's the same exact user experience and user interface. And you don't even need an app to have a frictionless ordering experience inside a venue.
It wasn't really possible in the first iteration of like the competitor you talk about. Like, that would have been real wonky.
Really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Now we have that capability today, and we're still, you know, continuing to expand and, you know, come up with other ways to keep, you know, that fans engaged. And here's another use case that I think is like super smart. So sports betting.
Yes.
Right.
We're all in.
Huge trend. Live sports betting real time during your game is a trend. So like stadiums are, you know, making a lot of capital investments and upgrading their venues to be able to support real-time live betting. The thing with that is, you know, in many states, it's still illegal.
Yep.
So
should be live in Illinois by March Madness, by the way.
But what do you think about the, as I think about like the implications of that, it's going to make fans want to stay in their seats and not even miss another moment.
There's I don't want to miss 1 second of the game without betting. With betting, it's a whole nother thing.
Yeah. Right. And I think like that as an interesting use case to, you know, why I think the future is like, or what we're trying to create or change the way fans get concessions, as I say, and there's another use case like they're trying to give fans an excuse to stay seated. Yep. And we're just trying to create that experience.
The funniest thing about this is that I'll play pushback and then tell you why, if you were running a equity crowdfunding campaign right now, I would empty my pockets into your pockets.
Yeah, we're gonna open up one as soon as I'm closing a deal right now with an MLB team to become investors.
Yeah,
can't say which one yet, but hopefully should be signing this week. And then once we do, I might pull a trigger.
You should ring me up and we'll set you up with the guys at Republic. They crush it.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, the pushback that people would give you'd be like, why? How is it sticky? Why would a venue not do this on their own? And the answer is so blatantly obvious. If you've ever been to any game ever, that like the like how many times do you have somebody standing in front of you for like 12 minutes trying to figure out change on a beer?
Yeah,
that can't happen.
Yeah, nearly half of sporting fans opt out of purchasing concessions due to long lines.
Yeah.
And if you think about like who carries cash on them. Less and less people every day. So
I
like,
buy with Bitcoin, bro.
Right? So I think the way that we're changing, I think why FanFood is going to change the way fans get concessions is because, one, FanFood is a more preferred and convenient way of ordering. No one likes waiting in lines. Yep. And it's just frictionless ordering experience. And B, on the other side, when you're ordering or managing or just focusing on fulfillment, it's an easier and more efficient way to manage your concession operations in its entirety. So to your question about like what makes fan food sticky, well, first off is just being able to execute on that. And then coming to the table with a system that can support the needs. So like our system, we can offer express pickup first. Yeah. We can do in-seat delivery. We're rolling out ordering ahead. We're rolling out
a Starbucks app.
Yeah, but like on steroids.
Yeah.
For venues, like we're rolling out the ability to do in-suite ordering, premium suite ordering. So it's like a kiosk experience where you can be able to order more stuff or call for a server.
We had a guy on here from Live Nation not that long. I should try to connect you.
Maybe you should.
That's what you want.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's do it.
Fundraising right now, but connecting with our head of sales.
There you go.
Yeah.
I like it. Delegation. I'm busy right now. You've got your shit together.
I have to.
You'd be surprised.
I have to.
A lot of founders don't think they have to. I don't know what the hell they're doing.
I don't know how they sleep then.
I think they're just crazy.
I'm trying to sleep, but
so life now as an entrepreneur, now that you're like in the thick of it, you're raising, you're doing real deals.
Yeah.
How is that different from when you were in the basement?
Well, it's a real business. We have over 30 employees full time right here in River North, and we have carving out departments, right? We have a marketing team. We have a sales team. We have a tech team. We're building out operations. We're unfucking our finances for the last 2 years, you know, and
that's a
that's a process in itself. But, you know, we're becoming a real business. I sat down with some of the initial employees and we went through this traction framework. We went through an exercise to identify what we want our company core values to be. Where do we want to go in 5-10 years? And we just, you know, syncing up, getting aligned, identifying what we want to accomplish, how many zeros we want to accomplish this year.
Yep.
And then how many zeros are we going to accomplish this quarter in order to get to that many zeros for the, you know, it's.
Yeah, of course.
So, and really just like empowering our team. Like the team is like super grateful. Like if there's one thing I would brag about, it'd be our team. They're like there's so much positive energy, helping each other. You know, like we went out for brunch. That was really fun. Like as a whole team a few weeks ago to Federales.
Nice.
You know what I mean? Yep. Thank you. I didn't pick it. Someone on our sales team did. But yeah, no, it's really fun. It's a really exciting time.
I was going to ask you on the way out of this is what's the one thing you got to get right, but you just answered it without being asked, which is the team.
100%.
You got it. I mean, yeah. That's
because once you solve,
especially with your business,
once you solve the money issue, right? Once you get your fundraising,
that's your job,
right? Then it comes down to people management. The other day, like you ask 10 different founder entrepreneurs, like give me an issue right now. If it's not cash, it's people.
Yeah. And then tech.
Yeah, which comes down to having
cash
the right people
yeah.
to build the tech.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you can start getting into this like whole battle of like you get star players.
Yeah.
And then it's like they want to like make the tech in their own image. And it's like, ugh, all right. Which I guess goes back to bad people, right? They're not bad. It's just sometimes bad for the team dynamic.
Yeah.
This has been a blast. Congratulations on all the success.
Thank you.
Let me know as soon as you exit your crowdfunding because I want a piece of this company. I think you're going to blow this shit up. Did I live up to expectations? I feel like we started this out. There
it's been
was
too
thing.
Long. I feel like I probably should have been on here a year ago.
You should have been on the show
three or four times.
We're gonna immediately upgrade you to friend of the program.
Yeah.
So you'll be like, we got the Kyle Nakasugis of the world. They come on a regular.
Nice.
So you're going to have to, we're going to put you on that.
This
is fun.
As soon as I get this next round closed, then we can come back on and discuss plans for...
To talk about some baseball.
Talk about some baseball.
It's such a perfect fit for you guys.
I literally cannot wait.
Oh,
I think
man.
it's gonna be a great credibility boost for the company. And yeah, I mean, it's...
I would love to see FanFood as an integrated piece of the MLB app, which I think is... still like the MLB app in general. I think even though MLB has its own struggles with like the viewership and things for a whole host of reasons, the MLB app is still in my mind the absolute epitome of technology for major league sports.
Yeah, I think so. And the intent is to own it, the mobile ordering component to that. That's what we want.
I know a guy. You're my guy. This has been a lot of fun. Carson, thank you so much for taking the time to come in.
Thank you.
Where do people go to follow FanFood and download the app?
You can you can download the app just by going to just Googling FanFood, iOS, Android. You can visit, pre-order if you're at a local venue. Actually, we just signed the County Kane Cougars.
Nice.
Yesterday. So they're just,
Schaumburg Bombers are next, right?
20, 30 minutes away. So you could pre-order at order.fanfoodapp.com. You can follow us on all social medias, FanFood app, FanFood app on demand on Twitter, LinkedIn. Follow us. We post a ton of content, not just with mobile ordering and sports, but we really do. We have our own podcast, The Game Day Playbook, where we interview a lot of sports industry, veterans, and we discuss what are some of the trends going on in the industry. What are like best practices around? What are venues doing to provide like the best fan experience? So we've had some like awesome people on, the CEO of Minor League Baseball to come.
Bet that
talk.
Helps in deal flow, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah, it's obviously strategic. But it's so check out some of the stuff. We stay in tune with what's going on in the sports and tech industry. So
sounds good. Well, we'll have you back soon.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
You can follow us at TechNori or follow me at Katoon. To invest in featured startups or apply to pitch on the Startup Showcase live on WGN Radio, Saturdays from noon to 1, go to technori.com. Boom, that's a wrap.